Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
NFL selects Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The NFL draft gets underway in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited.
Right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The week of the draft.
I just hope it doesn't make us look bad. That's all.
We need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency.
Next thing you know, you have another guy that you feel awesome about.
The Packers are one of the toughest teams to nail down in the first round.
The depth of this class outshines the star power of this class.
Mykal Williams.
Finished it immediately and slung down by Mykal Williams.
Maxwell Hairston, the corner from Kentucky.
Throws down the middle of the field. Maxwell Hairston, big time pick.
There are plenty of spots you could put Shamar Stewart. Teams want to roll the dice on talent.
Down he goes. Shamar Stewart on the sack.
In terms of Emeka Abuka, a professional receiver.
Caught in stride, Abuka, touchdown.
And we'll look at the focus and concentration.
Wow. I am a huge Hunter Waller fan. Any safety who hits like that, I'm going to be a fan of you.
Hit, dropped, and guess who made the lift is Hunter Waller.
So Green Bay, you're on the clock.
Welcome to my house.
I just don't know exactly what they feel like they need the most right now.
If they're not better this year, there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
I think they're one marquee player away.
With the 23rd pick.
They needed receivers in the first round and not
this done it. Has to be the most important draft of Brian Gutekunst's tenure.
Yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships.
The Green Bay Packers select.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
It is the Monday edition. The Johnny Montage Rises Again edition. The yes, draft week is upon us. Thursday, the first round. Friday, the second and third rounds. And Saturday, rounds 4 through 7 from Green Bay, Wisconsin edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, I believe only YouTube today, because we have a special cousin sub of the day from the Milwaukee studios. One call, that's all Grubelofs' studios. And of course, everything you need on the newly redesigned, all new, all free, all customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, where the draft is fast approaching, and Brian Gutekunst will speak to us today at noon. In the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, Johnny Montage himself, Jesse Nelson. Jesse, good morning.
Morning, Jason.
And from the aforementioned Grubelofs' One Call, That's All studios at the Avenue in the 3rd Street Market Hall. And he's not just here out of the kindness of his dumb old heart, because Tausch is out today. He's also doing some charitable work, as he does every year, and he'll explain that as well. You hear him on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I think today you'll hear him on pretty much every show we have. He is Gabe Neitzel.
Mr. WrestleMania, what a teammates. 2 days. I didn't even know WrestleMania was 2 days.
Yeah, they could have got away with it being 1 day this year, but that's... I mean, if you want my WrestleMania breakdown, Jason, I am ready. I can go the next 3 hours on WrestleMania if you really want me to. Okay. I thought I'd offer it.
I do enjoy how everyone keeps up the facade. Oh, John Cena! What a stunner! As if none of this is, you know, scripted. But, nevertheless, he is an outstanding teammate, and he's here to continue his support of a great cause. It is Gabe Neitzel as our cousin. So, Gabe, good morning. How are you after WrestleMania Palooza?
Oof. Big weekend, Jason. Again, if you want my full thoughts on WrestleMania, just go ahead.
Go to the
ESPN Wisconsin app. Maybe there are other people out there who do. ESPN Wisconsin app, or go to youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Check out our wrestling podcast that we do for GKB, Good Karma Wrestling. We did live recap shows after last night, night two. We did a live recap show after night one. Brian Rowitz, one of my co-hosts, was at WrestleMania. He was in Vegas. A lot of exclusive video content right now. youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling.
I accidentally watched some of that.
Hey, thanks. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
You know, boosting the numbers.
Yeah. I got the alert that it was live and I was trying to do something else on my phone and I hit that instead. And I got the breakdown from you guys. You got in all seriousness. And I do, this is sincere. If this is your thing, if you are into the professional wrestling realm, it's really good. You guys do an outstanding job. It is not my milieu, so I'm not going to be a rabid fan of it. But if you're into it, I highly, highly recommend it. You guys do a great job.
Have you ever been to a professional wrestling show?
Yes.
Okay.
State Fair Park. During the State Fair, the then WWF came to town. I took my younger brother, who was very much into it. I think I was probably 17 or 18. He was like 12 or 13. Hulk Hogan was not there. The biggest stars were, I believe the biggest star that was competing that day, was Coco Beware.
Oh, sure.
The Birdman. we did have a subscription to the wildly popular WWF magazine. So I think somewhere in some boxes at his house, he's got issues.
If you want to scratch the itch, Jason, Raw's going to be in Green Bay June 16th. I will get the tickets. I will come up. We can go to Raw if you want. That's up. I'll leave that up to you.
Wow. I appreciate the offer.
Okay.
Let me give that some thought and try and find something to do that day so I can say I'm not available. Maybe Jesse will get married again or something. In all seriousness, though, you're not here to talk wrestling. We are here to talk draft, as that is approaching fast and furious. We're going to talk to Goody today. I'm going to do a little bit of juggling with the end of the show and leave you and Jesse in charge as I make my way over to Lambeau. But most importantly, I see your MacFund hat. What are you doing today for those that are new fans of ESPN Wisconsin or are unfamiliar to your annual, I don't want to call it a pilgrimage, but this is an activity that you do to support the Mac Fund?
So this is year 7 for me. I think I missed the first year. Year 8 overall of an event called The Ringer for the Mac Fund. And there are a handful of us, 18 to 20, I believe is the number, that are playing 100 holes of golf a week from Thursday. Usually it is the Thursday of the draft, but with it being in Green Bay this year, luckily for me, so I could still participate, it is going to be May 1st. So we've got a little bit of time here, and we have to fundraise for this. And if you're interested in helping out in the fight against childhood cancer, just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. A link will be sent right to your phone. Myself, Greg Matzik from WTMJ, Stephen Watson, who you can see on FanDuel Sports Network with Brewers and Bucks, PGA Tour Live, and of course my co-host On the Tee coming up tomorrow night at 6. We're all banding together to raise funds for the Mac Fund, trying to get up to $25,000 is our goal to try to get to that number. And Jason, you guys have always been great. The afternoon show has always been great about helping and allowing me some airtime to talk about the Mac Fund. So if you can, every little bit helps. We do have some incentives. So if you donate $25 or more, you'll get entered into a raffle for pizza for a year from our friends at Palermo's Pizza. That also comes with a pizza oven, by the way. So pizza oven, pizza for a year from our friends at Palermo's Pizza and some other Palermo swag. If you're in the Milwaukee area, or even if you want to, you know, make the drive in from Madison, go to X Golf in Brookfield, where right now we are raffling off a new TaylorMade driver. So $20 gets you into that drawing. And that, if you want to, you know, spend $60 and get yourself three raffle tickets, you can do that. Shout out to my guy, Mike Meisen, out at X Golf in Brookfield. So you can go check that out. We've got a lot of different cool things going on. And we've also got a big one that could be potentially be announced later this week that I'm also very excited about.
So you did your show this morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're doing this wildly popular three-hour program.
Yes.
And then are you just are you taking over every show or did
nope.
I noticed Tausch jumped at the opportunity because we oftentimes just have you on as a guest.
Yes, correct. But Tausch just happened to be off today. I am going to be at some point later. Later either this week or next week. It's tough because I mean, we have so many things going on with the draft. But I will be joining KBN for an extended period because they've been, I mean, those guys on the afternoon show, whether it was the old Scalzo and Brush show, Jason, or whether it's those guys, like they just recently, I don't know if you talked to them about it, but Kyle and Ben just got Brazilian bikini waxes done. Because we raised over $1,000 last year. A partner donated $1,000 for that to happen. Those guys are always great with coming up with wild things. Josh DiMaggio, who's our producer, used to be the Scalzo and Brush producer, has a tattoo of Homer on his calf.
Yeah.
Because Homer donated $1,000 to the Mac Fund for Josh to get a tattoo of Homer on his calf. So, Jesse, I don't know, I mean, any tattoos you're looking forward to getting to? Can we throw a number out there?
You know, I don't want to
tattoo a Tausch.
I'm not quite the tattoo aficionado that Josh is, but, you know, we can talk. If there's anything bowling related that I could get involved with, that tends to be more my lane.
A tattoo?
Your lane, good one.
A tattoo of the guy yelling, "Who do you think you are? I am?"
Not bad, but
I think you should put that on your back in like an entire mural.
Who do you think you are? I am.
With the pointing and everything. But change Pete Weber's face to Jesse's face. All right, we will, as much as I would love to talk about Jesse's potential tattoos and wrestling, we do need to talk about the draft. It is here. How much am I going to see of you this week as we get underway? You know, Wednesday is kind of the soft launch, but then obviously Thursday is the first round, Friday the second and third rounds, and then Saturday rounds 4 through 7.
So I'm going to be up there all day Thursday and Friday. I'm taking the fan bus up with Balaga so I can make sure that he's going to be there on Thursday. So midday Thursday, we're going to be up there with the fan bus. I'll be a part of our draft coverage on Thursday night, Friday night. We're doing Jen, Gabe, and Chewy live from the Trio Friday morning. So feel free to, you know, swing by the houses if you'd like for, you know, Jason Wilde live and in person. If you want to change your time, we can certainly, you know, negotiate that. But I'm going to be up there, Jason. I'm excited. I don't know how much time I'm going to have to, like, wander around and see all the different things going on at Lambeau. But this is a huge once-in-a-lifetime event. And I am really curious to see how this all comes together.
So I'm glad you used the word curious. And our buddy Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com is going to join us at 9:30. And he had expressed, in fact, I think you hear him express those reservations in a very brief snippet during Jesse Johnny Montage's open for today's show. I am very curious now. I've reached the curious stage of how Green Bay is going to look both in person in terms of the throngs of people and the congestion and figuring out how to get in and out of Lambeau for those of us that are just going to cover the actual Packers selections as opposed to the carnival atmosphere outside, and also how it's going to play on TV. And I know Rob had expressed some concern about us looking, you know, like a podunk small town. I don't have those concerns anymore. I think TV will figure out a way to look, make us look great. But I am curious by the estimates of how many people are going to be here and the fact that it's basically one-third over the 3 days of what they had in Detroit. And Craig Karmazin, our founder and CEO, who hosts Sunday Karma on Sundays, was talking yesterday when I was on, and he's been to Vegas for the draft and New York for the draft and Cleveland for the draft. He said Detroit was so crowded that he just went back to his hotel and watched it on television. So I don't think we're going to have that problem, but are you, when you say the word curious, what kind of preconceived notions do you go into this week with for how it will be in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
I am curious how it's going to look with all the people, Jason, just because I think about some of the other ones that they, you know, the big drone shot or blimp shot, however they're taking the kind of overarching. I think of Nashville and how they had all those people down Broadway. Like, it was just packed and it looked like so many different people, looked like a fun event. But Green Bay, especially around Lambeau Field, just doesn't have that type of space. Like, I've seen the map of how it's all going to look, and over by the Hudson Center and Rush Center is where the stage is going to be, and it all kind of, you know, flows back towards Titletown from there. But it's not like you're going to have this big, you know, just big old roadway filled up with people. I'm curious to see how that looks. I'm curious to see, and this was something I was curious about when we had the U.S. Open here, just because it was a big event, when we initially had, and they figured it out for the number of PGAs they had up at Whistling Straits, because that was also, you can only come from so many directions because the lake is right there. So how are we getting people in and out? How are people going to actually get there? Because I think about Lambeau on a game day, Jason, and they have, the parking lot at Lambeau isn't particularly big for an NFL stadium.
It is not.
But it still holds, you know, a handful of people. That's not going to be available at all. So if we're expecting more people than on a game day, where are all these people parking? How are they getting up? How, and especially with Oneida Street shut down, because that's where the stage
Lombardi
is.
Avenue
and Lombardi
shut
Avenue
down
shut
well.
Down.
Yep.
So how are all these people, like, I'm the flow of everything to get people where they need to go on time, that's what I'm curious, to see how the flow of traffic and where all these people end up parking and going and things like that. Like, some of the logistical things like that is something I'm curious about.
Well, we will. I will have a better idea when I head over to Lambeau Field and just at least see the lay of the land. I'll be honest, I have not had cause to go there over the last several days. So I have not seen where things currently stand. But I am going to see it when I go over to Lambeau today. So I'm curious to see that. We'll talk more about the upcoming draft.
Where do you go? Are you just going to, like, park at the Trio? Like, how much of that is blocked off where you can normally park? Because, again, you've got to go for Goody's press conference today.
Yeah, so today we're parking in lot 9 or 10. And again, for those of you that have season tickets or have been to Green Bay, you know that Lambeau is essentially squared off by Ridge Road to the west, Oneida Street to the east, and Lombardi to the north. And so Lombardi and Oneida are closed. I'm going to come in on Ridge Road and park in there. But I want to, after we get done with Goody, and after, and look, on top of all the other stuff that's going on, the Packers also have major renovations going on inside Lambeau Field. They renovated the home locker room. They're renovating the equipment room and the meeting room. There is no media auditorium right now. I don't know where we're even talking to Goody today. And as I joked with somebody who works in the building, hey, great timing. You got the draft coming to Green Bay. Why not start a major construction project at the same time? But as I've mentioned, they are the players who are in for off-season workouts. We talked to Tucker Kraft. He was working out, you know, before he left for the tailgate tour. They're using that third locker room that they built for soccer games and other events that they have. So I can't get to my office. So I've had no reason to go over there. Today will be the first time. So I'm eager to get a look at just the lay of the land, but I don't know what it's going to look like on Thursday. If you are coming up from Milwaukee or Madison or Beaver Dam or wherever you're listening to us right now, I will try and get you a scouting report. because it is going to be, I'm guessing, far more overwhelming than game days, when it was pretty simple and you just had your person that you parked in their yard or whatever it might be. So we'll talk to Rob Domofsky coming up at the bottom of the hour, get his feel for the lay of the land. He also went to the NFL meetings. He talked to Goody there. We'll all talk to Goody today at noon. We'll talk about that. We've got Gabe Neitzel on behalf of The Ringer as a fundraiser for the MAC Fund, Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer, in as our cousin sub of the day. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Neitzel is our cousin sub of the day on Wilde and Tausch as he supports the MAC Fund with The Ringer. Now, there's golf involved with this too, right? You like actually play golf too?
Yeah, play 100 holes of golf, which is the event. So again, there's 18 or 20 of us that play and raise funds for this. So if you want to donate something the way Chewy did, Chewy pledged $20 per birdie that I make throughout the course of the 100 holes. You can do something like that. You don't have to donate now. So
what's
we'll
that going to cost him?
Probably around $200.
And you get 10 birdies?
Yeah, 10 birdies. 10 birdies and 100 holes. That's usually the goal, try to get to double digits.
Okay. And then, so that when are you playing golf?
May 1st. So a week from Thursday, a week after the draft this year, at the Bog Golf Course. And the Bog donates the golf course for the day to help out the MAC Fund. So like I said, this is my 7th year. I think this is year 8. And there's only 18 or 20 of us that do this every year, and we're up over $1 million raised for the MAC Fund and the fight against childhood cancer in this event alone. So we've had a lot of really generous people, and I know that's a big number, Jason, but every little bit counts. So even if you can't donate the $25 that gets you an entry into, you know, pizza for a year drawing courtesy of Palermo's, like a dollar, $5, it's always one of my goals every year to show off the platform and reach we have at Good Karma Brands, whether it's TMJ, whether it's here. And I want to have the most donations out of anybody. So anybody that can even just contribute $1, $5, $10, every little bit helps. You never know when that last little bit is what pushes over. So then the MAC Fund can fund a grant to get the research for a number of different childhood cancers.
All right. We need to get ready for Goody, and while I don't like to crowdsource my responsibilities, I am genuinely curious what people want us to ask Goody today. Now, again, I know there are members of the fan base that want confrontational, hey, why have all your draft picks in the first round pretty much sucked? That's not what we're looking for here. The goal here, and I used to enjoy this challenge with Ted Thompson, was how do you get him to give us some real information? And while Goody is different than Ted, he's a lot like Ted. And so it is a challenge. I am eager to talk to him today. I know Rob Domofsky will be there as well. We will discuss our plan of attack and the upcoming draft here in Green Bay, which kicks off on Thursday with Rob Domofsky of ESPN. He will join us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft, live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, presented by ZipRecruiter, GNC, and American Family Insurance.
I'm not even sure the last time I saw this guy in person, but I look forward to seeing him today. You read him every time you get the chance on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. You see him on SportsCenter and Get Up and NFL Live, and you hear him across ESPN Wisconsin as well. It is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
There he is. Hi.
Hi.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Jesse, what'd you do?
I might have messed something up here.
I hear myself echoing in my ear.
I hear it too. We got.
I mean, Rob looks great. I want to add that Rob looks great. I just want to say that it's been a while since we've seen Rob because we have Rob on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy all throughout the football season. So it's been a while since I've seen our buddy Rob as well.
I think we got him now. I messed it up.
Check one, great two. Small, check, Gabe. Check. Rob, good morning. Have you put together your questions for Brian Gutekunst yet?
So, Jason, I got to be honest. Nothing's really changed since we talked to him, or I talked to him last at the owners' meetings. Like, literally nothing has happened. I'm not sure why I'm going today, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, one will be to figure out how the heck we're going to get in and out of the building as the draft approaches. All right, I want to get into a little bit of the draft logistics, but before we go any further, I don't think there has been a longer drawn out beyond the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers sagas of a player's impending departure from Green Bay than the Jair Alexander saga. And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. You have a complete vendetta. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I've ever heard a general manager say what Goody did to you at the NFL meetings, which was, if he's not going to be on the roster and helping us win games, then we want to get something for him because we've invested a lot in him.
Correct.
Usually when you're talking about the hypothetical of a guy not being on your team, all you say is he's on our roster right now.
Right.
Yeah,
or we'd like to keep everybody. That's the standard.
Right. What did you think when you heard that out of Goody's
mouth? Well, it just further confirmed, not that I needed another confirmation, that they would rather not have him on their team. Like in a perfect world, and I think they intend to operate in a perfect world, Jair Alexander is not on the team when the 2025 season starts. And I guess your definition of when it starts could be the start of the offseason program, which is today, virtually. Or is it the mandatory mini camp? Is it training camp? Is it week one? It's such an unusual situation for this reason, Jason, from a contractual standpoint. Very rarely do you have a veteran player who doesn't have any offseason guaranteed money. Like, there was no March roster bonus that would have forced them to make a decision. Like, they don't owe this guy a dime guaranteed until whoever they're playing week one. Like, that's it. There is an off-season workout bonus. I would assume that he will not participate, in the off-season program. But, this is as long and drawn out a process for a guy who I would say with 99.5% certainty is probably not going to be on their team.
Rob, when you say they don't want him, I think that includes Goody in the front office, but does that also include Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff?
No, 100%. Yeah, this is an organizational feeling. The frustration level has come to the point where, they just don't want to not know from week to week whether a guy's going to play. It's not unlike the David Bakhtiari situation. Dave's injury was seriously severe. Jair's maybe not as severe, but if they could get an assurance that Jair Alexander is going to play 12 or 13 games this year, I think they would take him back. They just do not and cannot be in a position where they don't know they're using a roster spot, they're giving practice reps, they're spending money on a guy that they don't know how many games he's going to play. I mean, and look, we don't know how many games anybody's going to play, but this is there's history here, and you just can't continually operate that way and expect to be successful.
The weird thing about it, though, is that he's 28 years old, and there are coaches, and I'm sure Goody believes this, too, even though he clearly has made up his mind on this. The guy can still play when he plays, and that's the problem here, right? So when you look at this, have you garnered anything from John Thornton or from Jair's side of this in terms of, like, if I'm him, I don't want to be traded. I'm not going to adjust my contract. I want to be able to go choose wherever I want to go. So Has there been, you know, Goody said to you at the NFL meetings, we're talking on a weekly basis. What does that conversation consist of?
Yeah, probably not much, to be honest. Probably, we've heard from some teams. We haven't heard from some teams, something like that. But I can tell you from talking to people on the Jair side of things is that he will not take a pay cut. The Packers have not offered a pay cut, at least at last time I inquired a week or so ago, or maybe a little more than that. They have not offered a pay cut, and even if they did, he would not take it. There's frustration on Jair's part, I'm sure, about how they would like to be able to pursue other opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he wants to get on with this. And, you know, the hard thing for him is what he's supposed to make. Is it about $17.5 million this year?
Mm-hmm.
If they cut him, he's not making that, right? Like, no one signing him. You know, he's going to lose money in this proposition one way or another. So it's a tough situation for everybody.
Why won't Goody just admit that they're not going to get a trade piece for him and just cut him? Because is there the only reason to hold on to this guy for this long is like, hey, you couldn't play for us, so now out of spite, I'm going to hold on to you. Like, well, that could, I don't think that's it, but like, that's the only thing I can make sense in my head.
Right. I think, Gabe, it's a good question. You might as well wait till the draft, like through the draft, right? Maybe somebody.
Well, at this point.
Maybe somebody doesn't get a guy that they wanted, doesn't get a corner. But come Monday, a week from today, if he's still on your roster, I would think that at that point there has to be some sort of a resolution.
Well, it has been a long, protracted saga from the moment that he came into the locker room on cleanout day, was going to talk, and then publicly announced that he was not going to talk.
Right. I'm sure the first two questions for Goody, which would set the tone, and I say that sarcastically, would be, why is Jair Alexander on your roster, and why haven't you drafted a receiver in the first round? Like, you want to talk about a couple questions asked? Let's start off that way and see where things go.
Yeah, well, honestly, when you brought up, like, oh, what do you want to ask Goody? I've thought about this. I would want to ask Goody, what is it about this wide receiver class that you decided you wanted to bring six guys in for four meetings? Because again, if you have to ask it the right way, and yet clearly if you ask it the way Rob proposed it, you're not getting a good answer. But the fact that we know the Packers like to bring in guys who they're eventually going to draft, they want to get more information. That's what they use these 30 visits for. And the fact they've brought in six, I think that says a lot, including Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, and Mecca Abuka, who are three of the top guys at that position in this draft class.
And it sure sounds like McMillan, Gabe, is not going to be there at 23.
Correct.
I went through with a personnel person about six or seven days, mid last week, on just, you know, where he thought the whole first round was going to fall from about, I think it was, we started around 12 or 13 to where the Packers went. And I mean, McMillan could go, he could go to Dallas at 23 or at 12. I mean, I just don't see how he gets to 23. I do think that if he were to happen to be there at 23, the streak would end. I really believe that they would pick him from what I was told, but I just don't think that's realistic. As for the other guys, you know, I don't know if that, like, I'll just give you a little hint. Two of those guys that you mentioned were on the board for me when I did that. We did our ESPN NFL Nation mock draft TV show, which will air tomorrow night. And I did not pick either one of them because I just don't think they're going to take a receiver in the first round unless it's McMillan.
In fairness to our listeners, you've never gotten that pick right in your entire ESPN career, correct?
I was reminded though that last year on our, or 2 years ago on our WBAY show, which we see, the problem with the ESPN show is we have to do the draft on Friday and tape the show over the weekend. So there's intel comes out. On the WBAY show 2 years ago, I did get Lucas Van Ness correct on that show. So
when you're a TV star like Rob, you get multiple opportunities at this. You're on multiple shows across all these places.
That's right. And here's the thing too, is I think I know what I think they want in the pick, but the problem was And just like in the real draft, the guy I think they're going to take was gone in our real draft. But I think in the real draft, he might be there. So like Jason has the opportunity to either not do a mock draft where it goes the whole way, or if he does, he can manipulate it exactly so that the guy he wants is going to be there. So in my defense, I'm at the mercy of, in this case, 22 other idiots in front of me who may or may not know what the hell their team's going to do. And well, let me say that. Let me say this. I'll take that back. There's 22 in front of me. There's 20 idiots and Todd Archer with the Cowboys who knows what he's doing. No, I'm totally
yes, Todd Archer.
Colleagues.
We love Todd Archer, although I think he probably made you think the Packers were going to get that Cowboys defensive lineman who ended up being franchise tagged and extended by the Cowboys. All right, Rob.
It was actually not Archer, but it was someone with the Cowboys organization who pointed out.
I wonder who that could
my
be.
My sources are media people.
So let's talk a little bit about the logistics of the draft.
I've been over there like three times in the last week.
And how's it look? Because I have not been over there. This will be the first time I've been over there.
Yeah.
What's it look like to you?
It looks like it's going to be hard to get in. That's for sure. I was over there about 10 days ago. I'm working on a story that I think is going to run tomorrow. Well, I've already worked on it. It's done. But on just how this NFL's smallest city is going to host their second biggest event, right? The first biggest being the Super Bowl. And I ended up knocking on the door of the two people who live closest to the stage. There's two houses on the corner of Lombardi and Oneida. They're both duplexes. And just by happenstance, both people, they live on one side and rent out the other side. And on the northwest corner of the street, that woman who rented out her half of the duplex got $32,000 for four nights.
Whoa.
And the woman across the street can't give hers away. So it's still available for those people looking for a close spot to the stage. But, and I say that because I don't know if it's going to be quite as crazy as we thought it was going to be. There's plenty of hotel rooms. I mean, if you go to like Marriott.com or Holiday Inn or Hilton, the actual websites of the hotels, you won't find rooms. But if you go to the secondary market, the travel sites, the Expedias, whatever, if that even still exists, there's plenty of rooms available and at pretty reasonable prices. I do think that it's a small area for if they get as many people as they think, it's a pretty small area to put a lot of people in. I'm not going to say it was overhyped and they're not going to get as many people as they thought, but the closer we get to it, the more I'm wondering if maybe it's not going to be completely chaotic. I don't think it quite will be out of control.
So has your concern, because we heard it in the montage that Jesse did, your concern about us looking like small town podunk, one stoplight, one traffic, controlled traffic signal, whatever that line Barry used in his Washington Post story. Has your concern been allayed, and now it's more just the logistics?
Yeah, I talked to, at the NFL meetings, I talked to Peter O'Reilly, who's basically the head of NFL events. Like, he's in charge of the Super Bowls and this kind of thing. And, you know, I said that to him. I go, look, I'm going to just say this. The perception of Green Bay is that it's a bunch of small-town people who, you know, don't belong in the NFL. And I think if the, you know, I said, the draft goes poorly, that's not going to help the reputation. And he looked at me and he said, it will go smooth. No one will think that. I really do believe that there are the right people in charge. For example, I was talking to somebody over there who is part of like logistics or something. I don't know exactly what they do. That seems like when you say you're a consultant, what do you really do? But this was a logistics person. And he said he had just worked his 27th Super Bowl for the NFL. So they have people in there that know what they're doing, right? It's that not necessarily just, Joe from, Henry's Garage filling in and setting up stages. And, you know, like it seems like I think it's going to be okay. Who knows what the weather's going to be like though, Jace? I remember years back when the draft was just a 2-day event, and walking into Lambeau Field on that Saturday, and there being snow flurries, right? Like, it's nothing's out of the question. I mean, I played 4 rounds of golf last week, and it was only really warm for one of them, and the other three, that if it wasn't April, I wouldn't be playing, but I was just itching to play. So it's not been great up here, as you know.
How is the golf game? Pretty good. Play 4 times in 1 week, Rob. I am impressed. That a boy. Yeah. With the
all
draft approaching.
Yeah, 4 days in a row. And I hope my bosses aren't listening, but
nobody's like, listening you, anyway.
I heard you, Gabe, talking about your 100 holes, your goal is 10 birdies.
Yeah.
I think I was, let's see, I was 2-3. I was 6 birdies in 4 rounds, which is probably a little bit off pace for that.
Still pretty good. Man,
right? It's pretty close. Pretty close. One more birdie, and you're right there.
6 birdies in 72 holes. That's probably not enough.
Yeah, and then you get hot for a little bit, and you make a couple birdies in a row, and just that deficit disappears like that.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, a couple more things before we let you go, and then I'll see you over at Lambeau in a little while. One, Tausch has made the comment, and it's also in the montage that Jesse did such a good job on, about how this is a crucial year and seats are going to get warm if there's not significant steps forward.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how different this offseason has felt. You know, they win their last 3 regular season games, they beat the Cowboys, and they have the 49ers on the ropes a year ago. This year, they lose their last 3 games, including the playoff game. Do you get the sense? I keep talking about what a pivotal year it is for Goody, LaFleur, Love, Lucas Van Ness, so many people. How do you kind of, what's your 30,000 foot view of where they're headed in 25?
Well, throw in the fact, Jason, that there'll be a new man in charge of the team, Ed Policy, Ed's worked there for 12 years, and presumably he, you know, is on board with a lot of things that Mark Murphy did, but you know, we don't know if Ed thinks these guys are the right people. We don't know that. I assume that he does, but if the season doesn't go right and Ed Policy's in his first year as president, does he feel like he has to do something? I mean, I think it's just a question at this point. I don't think it's necessarily a fear or an expectation that might happen. But it was interesting. I wrote this last week, I think it was, maybe the week before after the owners' meetings, about how, you know, LaFleur didn't necessarily want to lose coaches from his staff, but he was kind of looking forward to the fact that, you know, if Steno does get the offensive coordinator job that he interviewed for in, what was it, Seattle and somewhere else, I can't remember, Jacksonville, maybe Houston, you know, it does give him a chance to bring in some new ideas and some fresh ideas. Because, look, we've seen this is going to be year 7, is that right, under LaFleur?
If my
math is right.
Correct.
This is sort of the time that, you can get a little stale in your thing. You can't just keep running the same offense that you've run every year. It's eventually people catch up to it. And we saw that, under previous coaching staffs where around this point, if you don't get, creative and you're just relying on the same, concepts and your players just to be better, that can have a negative impact. So, I do think that there is a little bit of that to watch for. The interesting thing to me, and you talk about compare the last 2 seasons, I mean, I totally realize how they ended this season versus how they ended it 2 years ago, but they won more games. I mean, won more games in 2024 than they did in 2023. Their quarterback was hurt for half the year, if not more. They had a new defense. Like, all that, winning the game, 11 games or whatever it was, all that. It's a little surprising that there is this sort of, feeling of they better get something done. And I feel it too. Like, I'm not saying it's unwarranted, but it is a little bit unusual, I think.
Well, when you go 1-5 in your division and 0-6 against the 3 really good teams in the NFC, there is that perception. All right, I don't want you to give away the farm of who you're going to select on the ESPN draft.
Jason doesn't, but I do. I do.
No.
So feel free. Well,
save your content. But who's on your big board,
what
Mel?
What does it rhyme with?
It rhymes with I'll give you the position. I'll put you okay. this way.
All right.
It rhymes with ledge.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I see you and Goody. I see you and Goody being smitten. You know, you're quite the athlete yourself. You have two sons who are remarkable athletes. I see you as kind of a Shamar Stewart guy. 9.99 RAS.
4.5 career sacks. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was looking at those guys and I talked to this personnel person and we were going through that kind of stuff, and he was like, you know, Stewart's got all the measurables. He's got this, he's got that, but boy, there's just not much production there. It said, sounds like a perfect Packers pick.
I wish that wasn't so true. I wish that wasn't so true.
I will tell you this, that's not, that wouldn't be, if I were picking for the Packers, and I do this, like, I think there's a misconception about mock drafts. Like, I do it trying to predict who the Packers would take, not who I would take.
Right.
Like, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares what me and this little tiny notebook full of notes thinks of these guys, right? Like, no one cares about that. So I'm trying to do, you know, what the Packers would do. And I can tell you this, that there is a pass rusher other than Stewart, and it's not one of the top two guys that they would prefer before Shamar Stewart. I don't know. And it's probably who I'll pick for my selection on the WBAY special. But unfortunately, that player was gone in our ESPN NFL Nation mock draft. So I probably just basically told you, you know, who I'm picking based on all that context. But I think edge is such a, they've talked so much about trying to increase this pass rush with, you know, four and not, you know, not have to, you know, do a bunch of blitzing. The one position that I don't really have a great feel of is corner. Like, I feel like I got a pretty good handle on the receivers. I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on the edge guys and even some of the interior defensive linemen. I don't know what the Packers think of the corners. That has been hard for whatever reason to discern. And, you know, I quite frankly, didn't spend a whole lot of time talking to the personnel people I did about corners because a lot of people, you know, and you know, Jason, real quick, I'm sure when you talk to scouts over the years, they've tried to do their own, the teams try to do their own mock drafts, right?
Right.
Like they try to, so they try to figure out who's going to be available. And there weren't a lot of corners off the board. In fact, let's see if we went through of the, so the scouts that I've talked to basically said that before the Packers would pick, there'll be three quarterbacks gone, five offensive linemen gone, three defensive tackles gone, two running backs gone, a corner, an inside linebacker, a safety, and a tight end. So however many that is, 3, 8, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and that's not counting any of the edge rushers, right? So if there's five edge rushers that have first-round, you know, possibilities, they'll have their choice of one or two of those. So,
right.
Again, this is just putting it together from what the personnel people are trying to do with their own mock drafts. So take that for what it's worth.
Rob, I'll see you at Lambeau in a little bit. We appreciate you.
Yeah, by the way, the media auditorium, as far as I understand, is still operational.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The problem is that's the only thing we have access to. For the 19 hours that we're going to be at Lambeau Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're all going to be stuck in that one smelly room listening to Joe Radio Guy. And not that you guys are this, because you're not. Doing, well, what the Packers are on the clock here in about 10 minutes. And, you know, we'll see what they do at pick 175. But. Anyway, that's the draft room for us. And by the way, when you come into Lambeau, because I drove by yesterday, it looks like for us, we go down Ridge Road coming in from the backside, and then you turn right into lot 9 or 10 and park there. Now, from there, I don't know how the heck we get into the stadium, but that was my scouting.
Start climbing walls.
All I know is I was offered the luxurious option of doing the show from my car in the parking lot. Today, if I wanted to get there early. So that was my option. All right, Rob, we'll see you soon, buddy. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
That is the magnificent Rob Domofsky. He and I and many others will be asking Brian Gutekunst a series of questions today at noon. We'll get to that, and we'll talk a little bit about what needs to be asked of the Packers GM coming up next after we take another break, and we will get back to Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks as always to Rob Domofsky. Great to catch up with him. All right, Gabe, because you are a Packers fan, the question I have after listening to Rob, do you feel better, worse, or the same as the draft approaches?
I feel much better. I think I've arrived at a point where I am, as a fan, I think I'm okay with just about anyone other than Shamar Stewart. But I can't do it again, Jason. I can't do another edge rusher who has all these great measurables but did jack squat in college. And the sad part is he had less production than Lucas Van Ness. He had less production in college than Rashawn Gary. And those guys were supposed to be projects. And they haven't come to fruition. Like, watching Lucas Van Ness get blocked one-on-one by tight ends last season, woof. But I don't want somebody who has these measurables that look good but ultimately isn't a great football player. And I don't know, I mean, maybe Shamar Stewart develops into a great football player. But right now, he's an athlete trying to play football, and the Packers would have to develop him, and I don't want to deal with that anymore.
God, I hope it's Shamar Stewart.
Yeah, I know you do.
I just want to come on the show when your host and just discuss your exasperation. Well, hey, they're dreaming fearlessly as they get ready for the draft. They better ensure carefully that the guy they select actually can play. And just like a great team needs great protection, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too. That's why they make life better by protecting your dreams with the right home and auto policies. So insure carefully, dream fearlessly, American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating companies, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Neitzel kicks off in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.